The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, going to be zeroing in on verse 7. So if you remember, this is the last Sunday of the month, so we're going to be going back to our series on the Ten Commandments. And so today we're going to be talking about the third commandment. But while you're turning there, 'tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, no arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other word would still smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo doth thy name, and for thy name, which is no part of thee, take all myself. So those lines come from a play written by Shakespeare called Romeo and Juliet. And I'm sure many of you have read it. I'm sure many of us had to read it when we were in high school. And if you remember the story about the star-crossed lovers whose love was forbidden because they come from two rival families, and these two families, they absolutely hate each other because he's a Montague and she's a Capulet. And those lines I just read is, you know, sure, it's romantic, right? It's romantic, sure. And what we saw in the story is that Romeo and Juliet actually found out that their names are not so easily discarded. Huh. What's in a name? Lots. There's a lot in a name. Lot more than we might think today. Yet, it is true that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. But would roses be as popular if they were called skunk buds? Or trash petals? See, family, names actually do matter. And it actually matter quite a bit. Parents, you remember, right? One of the most important things that we could do for our children is one of the first things we've ever done for our children. We gave them their names. Some of us went through a lot to get that name. We searched the internet, books on popular modern baby names, just family history. Maybe we named them after a relative that we like, a favorite character from your favorite movie, or even a name from the Bible. And of course, we wanted to make sure, I hope you did, I hope that we did our very best to make sure that we gave our child a name that when they grew up and went through high school, they weren't made fun of because of their names. Names, family, they're important. We know it. But did you know that it also matters to the Lord as well, especially when it comes to his own? See, we saw in the past few months the essence of the first and second commandments. We saw that we ought not to worship false gods, but we are to worship the right God and the right God alone. And then we saw in the second commandment that we need to worship the right God the right way. And any other way is going to be seen by the Lord to be idolatry and a transgression of the command. But did we hit the brakes when we came to the third commandment? Did we hit the brakes? The third commandment? Because I think sometimes we get to the third commandment and many of us think, well, yeah, it's a lighter command. It's a lighter command. Basically, don't swear and you're all good. So whatever you do, don't swear, and it's all good. See, this is the thing. If we think that, then we are gravely mistaken. Gravely mistaken. See, family, another misunderstood command today. And let me tell you, family, I was going to say baby. I feel like I'm talking to my children or my wife. I take it back. Another misunderstood baby. This one's got teeth. This command is really misunderstood. And it is absolutely amazing how many times we break this command today. Oh, Shane, I don't swear. How many times we break this command today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that we get from it, Lord. Father, I pray that you move upon our hearts today for us to truly see and recognize the beauty of this commandment, the beauty of your name. Father, I pray that we will continue to cherish it for eternity, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So family, the first thing we're going to look at today is a picture of the wonderful name of the Lord and why it is majestic in all the earth. And the second thing, we're going to look at how we break the third commandment in all the many ways we actually misuse the name of God. And when I share that part with you, you're going to be really nice and love me even after I'm done saying all those things. And finally, we are going to look at the name that is above every name and why we can and do find great eternal joy in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. So the thesis statement today is this: though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to become blind to the real majesty and honor of the name of the Lord, bringing countless transgression and dishonor, it is the grace of our Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that will open our hearts and our minds to the beauty of the glorious name of God proclaimed, and in living faith find life and salvation. Family, this is the gospel of Jesus. So the first thing we're going to look at today, point number one, what's in a name? The essence, family, of the third commandment. So in our culture today, it's not uncommon for me to get responses to commandments, especially the third commandment. Are you serious, Shane? Seriously. God is going to send people to hell just for swearing? Just for taking the Lord's name in vain? Just using the name Jesus when you're frustrated? God's going to send people to hell for that? Just because we misuse his name? See, to me, in a lot of ways, society and our culture today have maybe taken on the same perception of names as did Shakespeare, who we saw personified in Romeo, in the story. You know, what's in a name? Really, it's just a name. But society, culture, and time period does not decide right and wrong when it comes to the Lord. It is the Lord who decides what's right and wrong when it comes to the Lord. So we always have to go to God's word when we want to find out anything about this wonderful topic called the name of God. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. Want to see how serious a name is? Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be stoned to death by the whole community of Israel. Any native-born Israelite or foreigner among you who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. What is the thing I wanted to point out with that passage of scripture? Even the foreigner is supposed to know better than to blaspheme the name of God. Even people who do not know better is supposed to know better. See, I think a lot of times in our culture today, we think, oh, you know, because we just don't know. You know, you broke this law, and we're standing over there. I didn't even know it was a law. Come on, there's like millions of laws here in the United States. How am I supposed to remember them all? You know, it's just what we do is we plead ignorance. And what we're seeing here in this passage of Scripture, we cannot plead ignorance when it comes to the actual blasphemy, when it comes to the name of the Lord. It is here to protect the honor of the great name of God, and the people knew it. If you didn't think this was right, and family, today when you hear these kinds of things about the name of God, if you don't think it's right for God to punish those who blaspheme his name, then we really don't understand the glory of the name of God. We just don't get it. I mean, let's look at it. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations." So God revealed the wonders of the covenant name given. This is what many will refer to this as the tetragrammaton. For in the Hebrew, Yahweh consists of four letters. Stacy, I put that up there. It just simply looks like this. Four letters. I am, who I am. We could even understand this as I will be, who I'll be. And in this, when we look at this, this is the context of how the early Hebrews viewed the nature of names. For God, his name was more than just a mere name, but it was also his identity. His name speaks to the sum of his person, the sum of his character, the sum of his essence. And see, today, in our culture today, for many of us, a name may simply just be a label or something we have, something that we have, not necessarily something that we are. But for the ancient Hebrews, because of this example given by God, a person's name meant so much more. Naming someone during that time was a big deal. And so much more so when it comes to God and his people knew it. What's in a name? That's not the real question here. What's in his name? Let me show you something. Let me illustrate this with just an amazing moment. That you've heard sermons on this, because this is just an amazing moment. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is when Moses said he wanted to see God. And Moses said, "Please, show me your glory." And he said, "I will make my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." So, question, does my ears deceive me? Moses said, "Show me your glory. I want to see it. Show me your glory. I want to see it." And the Lord responds, "I will let you see it when you hear my name." Did you see that? Did you hear what the Lord just said? That's what I'm saying. It's like you read that and it's just, I want to see your glory. And he says, "I'm going to show you my glory when you hear my name." God showed himself by speaking his name. Because if you remember the story, right, when God came by, he covered Moses' face. Moses couldn't see anything. How was he going to experience the glory? The word of God says he spoke his name and declared his name to Moses. So when people say, hey, you know, Shane, it's just, you know, come on. We're just, you know, saying something maybe negative to God's name. You know, no big deal. Man, big deal. I will show you. For Central Baptist Church, if we say, hey, God, show us your glory. And God will say to Central Baptist Church, I will show you my glory by declaring to you my name. And you will see my glory when you hear my name. Isn't that amazing? And so we think that the name of God is just something, we might think that it's just something little, but it's not. This is striking. I hope we see it. This is why the name of the Lord is to be revered. The name of the Lord is the glory of the Lord. There it is. And ask Uzzah what happens when you touch the glory of the Lord. The scriptures revere the name of the Lord. The scriptures revere the name of the Lord, and you see it time and time again. Let me just give you a couple. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. Psalm 29, 2. Psalm 29, 2. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Family, the scriptures make this clear. It was clear in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus is teaching us how to pray. The first petition was, hallowed be thy name. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved, which men must be saved. Paul assured the Romans that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And family, we know the culminating event in all of creation, after all is said and done, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. At the name of Jesus, this is what's going to happen. And I take comfort, family, in this passage of scripture. Do you know why? Because, look, at the end, everybody's going to. People may be saying, well, you know what? I'm not bowing down to Jesus right now. I'm in control of my own life. Well, let me tell you something. You may not be bowing down to Jesus now, but you will. And I thank God that I can do it now. That he's opened up my eyes and opened up my heart. And I take comfort that I can do this now. Because right now I see that Jesus is the King of Kings. And Jesus is the Lord of Lords. The name of the Lord is to be revered. The name of the Lord is to be honored. The name of the Lord is to be lifted up. And that's it. This is the beauty of the name Yahweh. And the third commandment protects this beauty. And I know even for many of us, even saying that, hearing me say that, for those of you that have real traditional, some traditional upbringings, you even kind of maintain that Jewish regulation where you don't even say the name Yahweh, you know? Just, if you know, so I was, remember one time this, I was preaching and I'm talking about the names of God, and this one lady came up and she's just like, Shane, you know, I know that there isn't anything, you know, no regulation in scripture about not using the name Yahweh. But I got to tell you, every time I hear you say that, it just makes me tremble. I'm just like, have we lost at least a little bit of fear when it comes to the name of God? You know, have we lost some of that? Even just saying that. See, here's the thing. The regulations that were given in Judaism to not use the name Yahweh. You guys remember that? You hear sermons on that? They weren't allowed to say Yahweh. Jehovah, yeah, not Yahweh. Oh, man, you're growing up in a traditional home like that. You say, you know, not my way, but Yahweh. Psh, you don't say that. You don't say that. You just don't say that name. But here's the thing. Why did they have this regulation? Because of the fear that that name is going to be misused. Do we fear today about the name being misused? Because this is the issue. The Lord desires us to use his name. That's clear in Scripture. He desires for us to use his name. He just does not want us to misuse his name. So how do we misuse this? So point number two, how we misuse. It's not the use that is forbidden, but the misuse. Now, as a young Christian growing up, I used to always wonder what it really meant to take the name of the Lord in vain, right? This is all random stuff. You would be doing things, saying things, all this stuff, and somebody would be like, hey, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, for some of the younger people, they don't understand that kind of stuff. You know, the, psh, hey, don't do that. They don't understand that. But we do, right? We understand that. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And I remember that, like, as a young person, always kind of confused. Like, I don't even really know what that means. What does it mean? In vain. What is this thing? Take the name of the Lord in vain. And so you just get so nervous, you just don't want to take the name of the Lord ever. You know, so you just don't ever want to do this. And we take a quick look, but if we take a quick look at the Hebrew text, and we look at the word that's used for the commandment, for the misuse or the taking of the Lord's name in vain, that Hebrew word shav, it basically has a quality of being valueless or even futile. The context or the essence of that word, worthless, inconsequential, empty, nothing. Whoa. Now all of a sudden, it rings true. Now hopefully with this in mind, our hearts just opened up of the many, many ways we might have misused the name of the Lord. Do not use the name of the Lord in any way that speaks of it carelessly, thoughtlessly, flippantly, or in a way that does not matter or that treats God as if he doesn't even exist at all. Do not use God's name as if God's name is nothing. And you see how stark that is. I mean, look at our culture today. Even when it comes to censoring movies, you know, when you watch TV, you know, it's okay to hear the gee damn it and the Jesus Christ and all of those types of, it's okay to do that, but you can't hear, you can't hear the other words, the bad words, right? The F word, the S word, you know, all that. You can't hear that, but they let these ones go through, you know? I just always like wonder, why is that? Have we lost something in our culture today where we've got it backwards? Sure, the F-bomb, the S-bomb, all of those types of things. Yeah, those things, worthless talk, filthy talk, don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But have we lost the essence of not taking the name of the Lord in vain? Man. Did we miss that? Did we miss the reality of this? Do we miss the impact of this, of how shattering this has become? Do we think of God's name, Jesus, Christ, Yahweh, Jehovah, God, Elohim, El Shaddai, all of these words, do we think it's just nothing? Oh, what's in a name? Have we lost that? Family, we're not to use the name of the Lord flippantly. We're not to do it this way, because if we were to do it, it would be the greatest of all profanity meaning to treat something holy and sacred as something common or secular. To dishonor the name of God is to dishonor God. To dishonor the name of God is a way to say that God himself is worthless. Worthless. And we do this in so many ways. In so many ways. I think with the Westminster Divines, when they got together and they came up with the Westminster Confession, had a larger catechism with it. I want you to hear this. I was debating whether I wanted to read this because it's just so much, but I just want you to hear what they said. Super helpful. This is super helpful what they did. Westminster Larger Catechism, question number 13. The sins forbidden in the third commandment are. You want to know what transgressing the third commandment are? This is what they say. Not using of God's name as is required, and the abuse of it in an ignorant, vain, irreverent, profane, superstitious, or wicked mentioning, or otherwise using his titles, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of his titles, his attributes, his ordinances, or works by blasphemy, by perjury, all sinful cursings, oaths, vows, and lots, violating of our oaths and our vows, if lawful, and fulfilling them if these are things that are unlawful, murmuring, quarreling at, curious, prying into, and misapplying God's degrees and providences, misinterpreting, misapplying, or in any way perverting the word or any part of it, to profane, jest, curious, or unprofitable questions, vain janglings, I love that, just made vain janglings, and the maintaining of false doctrines, abusing it, the creatures, or anything contained under the name of God, to charms, to sinful lusts, practices, the maligning, scorning, reviling, or in any wise opposing God's truth, grace, and ways, making profession of religion in hypocrisy or for sinister ends, being ashamed of it or ashamed to it by unconformable, unwise, unfruitful, and offensive walking or even backsliding from the name of God. Any of you guys do one or two of those? Family, this is absolutely extraordinary. But let me make things a little bit simpler. Okay, we're gonna simplify it a little bit because these are kind of the areas that I feel like we do it the most. And this is by no means an exhaustive treatment of all the things that we do. But let me just give you some. If I make it simpler, to violate the third commandment is when we take up the name of God, his titles, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, or any of his names given in Scripture in the service for what is false, what is frivolous, or what is phony. Okay, it took me a while to get all those F's in there. False, frivolous, and phony. But I know it's PH, right? But forgive me. Family, we do not use the name of the Lord to serve falsehood. This is a big one. This is a big one. We don't use the name of the Lord to serve falsehood. Family, easy, quick, bang. Committing perjury, lying under oath. You know, because a lot of times, family, we do contracts, we swear under oath. Do we do these types of things to persuade others that we are telling the truth? To take an oath, like in court, you put your hand on the Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God. So help me God, right? And saying things like, in the scriptures, they would say things like, as the Lord lives. You know, then they make their promise. Or on the elementary school playground, I swear to God, totally swear to God this is true. God is my witness. And then if we proceed to lie, that is breaking the third commandment. This is a violation of the third commandment. We do not, cannot, must not tie the name of the Lord with any kind of falsehood. Nothing. We are not going to tie the holy name of Yahweh, the holy name of Christ, to something that's false. This is perjury. This is using the name of God to promote falsehood and not the truth. Family, if we do this, this is sin. And man, it happens all the time. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. Leviticus 19, verse 12. Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely. I am the Lord. Now here we see things even with the Westminster Confession was saying about even when it comes to your profession. Do you realize that you add falsehood to the name of God by professing yourself to be a Christian and then lie? Do you ever think of that? We ever think of those types of things? I'm professing to be a Christian. I'm a worshiper of Jehovah. And we proceed to lie. Family, this is serious. Serious. Another way we can tie the name of the God of God. It happens today with this thing that happens, and it's even bothering me because it's starting to get close to home. Are these things about guys that are getting up and getting in front of the camera, getting on YouTube, getting in front of churches and prophesying about the return of Christ, prophesying about the recovery of COVID, prophesying about when COVID is going to go, prophesying about all these things. This is like this big thing. It's just like this thing now. We're just, guys are getting up in their prophet. You realize that you break the third commandment when we prophesy falsely. Anytime we say, thus saith the Lord, and you're wrong, you are tying the name of the Lord to something that's false. And that's a no-no. That's not okay. Taking the name of the Lord in vain. We are not only lying, we are dishonoring the name of the Lord. We are attaching the name of God to a falsehood. Family, this is not okay. Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 14 to 15. Jeremiah chapter 14, verses 14 to 15. Then the Lord said, these prophets are telling lies in my name. I didn't send them or tell them to speak. I didn't tell them that. I didn't give any of them any of these messages. They prophesy of visions and revelations they have never seen or heard. They speak foolishness made up in their own lying hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will punish these lying prophets, for they have spoken in my name, even though I never sent them. They say that no war, no famine will come, but they themselves will die by war and famine. I mean, any time we're using the divine and holy name of God to advance an agenda or advance an idea, family, we are breaking the third commandment. Let me say this too. Even if we're not sure and you do it anyway, you're breaking the third commandment. What do you mean by that? You're speaking, saying to everybody that God is your authority, and you have no idea that he is. You know what that's called? A lie? Did you get that? This is huge, family. I need you to see this. Even if you're right, if you don't know God sent you to say that, if you say that God sent you to say that, you are lying. And you are attaching God's name to it. See, we see this throughout all of church history when people try to get credibility by using the name of God, proving that God is somehow on their side. You know, many times I've heard people give advice to those who have got up and said, I'm prophesying, thus says the Lord. They prophesy something and they ends up being wrong. It doesn't come to pass. And people give advice. Steve, you've heard this advice that I'm going to talk about. We've heard this stuff growing up. Hey, you know what? It's okay. Don't worry about that. People make mistakes. Just keep going. And you know what? You'll get better at prophesying. That is bad advice. Absolutely bad advice. This is not what we say to an individual that does that. You know what you say to a person who prophesies and they're wrong? You say, fear the Lord. You have just tied the holy name of God to a falsehood, an untruth, and you have sinned. So don't go do better. Go repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness for taking the name of the Lord in vain. Oh, family, I know I'm rubbing my muddy feet all over your white carpet in your house right now. I know that, but I need you to hear this. Bear with me. I get it. I understand. Bear with me. This is a serious thing. And if we're sitting there going, well, Shane, come on. I mean, you know, people make these kinds of mistakes, all this stuff. Let me tell you something. The ancient Hebrews saw this so much They were afraid of things like this happening so much, they didn't even want you using his name in the first place. What's happened today that we can do this? To call on God's name in order to manipulate a situation for us. You know, in order to do something, if you're trying to pick sides or you got to decide stuff and you're going to stand up there and say, you know what, the Lord showed me that this is what we need to do. Or the Lord showed me in a vision that this is what needs to happen. Or the Lord showed me this, the Lord showed me that, all of these types of things. Whatever it is, if it's actually tied to something that's false, you have tied the name of the Lord to something false. And you have transgressed the third commandment of God. See, family, this is why I'm always leery. This is one of the things that, like, there's like this little thing that happens in my spine when somebody says, Shane, God told, that's all I gotta do. God told me, right there, it's like my spine goes, oh. You know, my leg stops moving, and I'm like, get up out of my seat. God told me this is what needs to happen. I'm always leery of this. Always leery of this. You realize and recognize what happens if God didn't tell you that? And here's the thing that I say to individuals all the time when they say, God told me. One of the things I'll say to an individual is, do you know that God told you that for real? Like 100% guaranteed this is something that God told me? Oh, Shane, well, I don't know that. How can you know that? Then if you don't know that, why are you telling me God told you? Hello? That amen was a little quiet. Thank you. Why are you telling me God told you? If you do not know 100% that God told you this, why are you telling me this? How would you like it if I did that to you? You know, hey, everybody, Randy told me that after church today, he's taking everybody out to lunch. Oh, Randy was clapping. So I guess I was right. But do you realize, this is a great example. This set up perfectly. This is a great example. I was right. Let's just say that is the truth. I was right. Do you realize that I still did something horribly wrong? What did I do? I lied, because that's not true. Randy didn't tell me that. I still tied Randy's name, his character, his person, to a falsehood. We are breaking the third commandment. We're breaking it. That's why it's just God told me to tell you this. You know, I get that one a lot. God told me to tell you, Shane, this is back when I was single, God told me to tell you that we're going to get married. There's two lies involved in that. See, this is the thing. Saying that it is there when it's not there is lying. And we're using the name of God to promote our agenda, to promote what it is that we're doing, to promote the next decision that we're going to make. We're using all of these things and we want to throw God told me or God spoke to me, and we slap that on there as our validation that God is on our side. Even if it turns out to be true, you lied because you don't know that God told you to make that decision. If we use the name of God to ascribe a false sense of authority to our ideas, our plans, our opinions, we violate the third commandment. When we say that there is only one godly approach to a particular matter, we run the risk of violating the third commandment by using God's name to give a sense of authority where it may not belong. We don't know that. By unreservedly putting God's name and stamp of approval on our plans as if they were his revealed will. Dr. Phil Ryken, if you can read anything by Phil Ryken, read anything by Phil Ryken. He says this, a more serious way to break the third commandment is by using God's name to advance our own agenda. Some Christians say, the Lord told me to do this. Or worse, they say, the Lord told me to tell you to do this. This is false prophecy. God has already said whatever he needs to say to us in his word.
Oh, but Shane, it sure does sound like you're up there, you know, saying this is what God said. He said, do not take the name of the Lord, take the name of the Lord in vain. I can absolutely say that. Do you know why? Because I can tell you, looking you straight in the face, I am 100% positive the Lord does not want you to take his name in vain. Why? Because that's what Dr. Ryken said. He's already revealed it to us in his word. Dr. Kevin DeYoung says it this, when you say, this is what God has said, or in order to make things more personal, here's a special word that Jesus has for you today. And that word is not from Scripture. That word supersedes or is an addition to Scripture. You're ascribing the name of God to your own words, plans, and ideas when it does not belong there. Man, powerful. So, you see kind of how this stuff just gets in? What are we doing when it comes to the name of the Lord? What are we willing to attach to this? When we use God in anything we say or proclaim, if it's a falsehood or we really don't know for sure if it's God, we're at least attaching a false authority to it. It's taking up the name of God in service of what is false. Again, even if some things which are said are true, it's falsely ascribing an authority to it that it does not have. It violates the third commandment. This is not to be taken lightly because this is a grave sin. Family, we need to repent of this. We need to recognize the real beauty, holiness, and glory of the name of the Lord and to fear ascribing anything false to his name at all. We need to fear ascribing anything false to his name. See, I like to say it this way. You know, in Scripture, when it comes to fornication, Paul says, look at this. When it comes to fornication, when you're fornicating as a Christian, he goes, do you realize that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He goes, if you realize that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, why would you unite the members of Christ with a prostitute? Why would you do that when it comes to fornication? It's the same thing here. Family, why would you want to unite a falsehood with the holy name of God? But there's also ascribing things that are frivolous to the name of God. This is breaking the third commandment. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Matthew 6, 7. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answers merely by repeating their words again and 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 again. Repeating the words when we pray the name of Christ. We just are going through the motions. We just are just saying the things that we need to say. Instead of actually praying, and I remember when I was young and I was in seminary and I was insecure and I was trying to win the, you know, the approval of my peers and even my professors that were there when we were in our prayer circle. Yeah, I repented. I repented and begged God for forgiveness of the times where I was just kind of like, man, I got to make this good. Lord! You know, and you start praying in King James and all that stuff just to be impressive, you know, and all this stuff. Family, do we realize that when we do things like that, we are absolutely breaking the third commandment. We are ascribing something frivolous, nonsense, to the name of the Lord. Subjecting the name of the Lord to nonsense. Nonsensical talk when we pray, it's a violation. And yes, family, using the name of God to express disdain is a violation. So your grandmother wasn't wrong, your aunt wasn't wrong, your parents weren't wrong when they say, you know, don't say those types of things. Don't say, gee, damn it, and don't say Jesus Christ when you're frustrated. Don't say, good God, you know, don't all that. Yes, they were right. It is a violation. Absolutely is a violation, a heinous violation. We're talking about the Creator and the Savior, the name of whom should not be used flippantly or in a casual expression of shock, outrage, or anger. We shouldn't be using his name to express any of that stuff at all. So they were absolutely right. But what I'm hoping we're seeing today is that's not the only thing. Moreover, John Calvin, he even says this, that we must not use the name, God's word or name for the purpose of our own ambition, avarice, or amusement. People who peddle the word of God for profit, go into ministry for riches, write Christian books, speak at conferences because they're greedy for gain, or violating the third commandment. Probably other commandments too, but violating the third commandment. Being a phony with the name of the Lord is a violation of the third commandment. I am of the opinion, just my opinion, that many of the politicians that we see on TV today violate the third commandment regularly when they continue to use God's name in an insincere manner. Insincere. When they're saying things and then at the end, you know, their speech after, you know, all this immoral things that they're going through, things that they've done, things that they're proposing, and then at the end they're going to say, and God bless you and God bless America. You want to be phony with God's name? You are absolutely violating the third commandment. Christians, we sin every time we tarnish the name by which we are called. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 17 to 18. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 17 to 18. Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were unclean, like the uncleanliness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed on the land for the idols with which they had defiled it. Let's skip on down to verse 21 and 23. Then I was concerned for my holy name. I love that right there. God is concerned for his name. Just in case you were wondering, I was concerned for my holy name, on which my people brought shame among the nations. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nation. And when I revealed my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am the Lord. So, family, do we think that God is concerned about his name? Absolutely. Should God be concerned about his name? Absolutely. Should we be concerned that God is concerned about his name? Absolutely. And if we truly understand the magnificence, the majesty of God's holy name, we would be upset too when that name is blasphemed. We bring shame to his name, and he will defend it. We will be dealt with. We violate the command by being ashamed of the Lord and by shaming the name of the Lord. Did you get that? Violated by being ashamed of the name of the Lord or by shaming the name of the Lord. We see this, right? Our elder today, Don, he got up and he read about the story about the seven sons of Sceva. Talk about phony when it comes to using the name of the Lord. That's what they did, and they absolutely paid the price for it. That's what he says here. If you use my name in vain, you misuse my name, you're going to be guilty. And I will hold you to it. They profaned the name of Christ and they paid the price for it. And here's the last point. The name above all names, our last point. Yes, the sons of Sceva, they paid the price, and the Lord had promised that he would hold guilty everyone who profanes his name. See, Leviticus chapter 24, we see in verses 11 to 16. Let me read all this because I really want us to hear this. During the fight, this son of an Israelite woman blasphemed the name of the Lord with a curse. So the man was brought to Moses for judgment. His mother was Shelomith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. They kept the man in custody until the Lord's will in the matter should become clear to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, "You take the blasphemer outside the camp, tell all of those who heard the curse to lay their hands on his head. Then you let the entire community stone him to death. Say to the people of Israel, those who curse their God will be punished for their sin. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be stoned to death by the whole community of Israel. Any native-born Israelite or foreigner, those people who don't know, if any of them blasphemes the name of the Lord, they must be put to death." Now again, family, this is a civil law that we have, that they were to follow under the actual movements of the nation of Israel. But family, it doesn't take away how serious God is when it comes to profaning his name. It's so bad that the civil law required those be put to death. So we see that the Lord has said he would hold us accountable for breaking the third commandment. Family, this is serious. The Word of God says that he would not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And we see here the punishment is actually not really specified. It just basically says that you are guilty. And some people will read this and say, hey, you know, he's just going to hold us guilty. Yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. We're guilty of it. He didn't put a punishment to it. So all of a sudden, everybody thinks like, oh, well, you know, we're just guilty of it. He's not really all that serious. It doesn't really seem like a real threat. But family, do not be fooled. Let us not be fooled. This right here, what's happening here is what grammarians, what they call a meiosis. It is less said with more intended. Let me give you another example. I can give you the threat, the punishment by death, all of the things that could happen to you if you did it. Or would it be more powerful if I said, like, you know how people say, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Right? You know, you hear that? It's like your mom has got something, you know, you're looking to, she's built it all day, spent a lot of time on it, and she's looking at you and you're like looking to play with it so you can break it, and she's looking at you and she gives you that look. She doesn't spell out to you what could possibly happen to you. Doesn't spell out how long you're going to get grounded for. Doesn't spell out all the punishments, all of that kind of stuff. All she does is look at you and says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. This is, in a sense, this is what he's saying here. I will hold you guilty if you do this. Less said, more intended. This is not an opinion. This is a warning. And when the Lord said that he would not hold us guiltless, he meant that he would surely condemn us for it. We would not be innocent. We would be guilty as we're standing before the living God. Why? Because we're hearing it today. Misusing the name of God, family, I'm hoping that we saw it. It's a terrible sin. We don't like it when people misuse our name. Why would you think it would be any less for our Lord? Putting words in his mouth, saying things that he never said, claiming that he said it, all that stuff. You guys want to really upset my wife? She loves it when you put words in her mouth. When we were early married and we're still learning how to communicate with each other, if I wanted to get a rise out of her, that's all I had to do was put words in her mouth. Tell her that, well, you said this. And I never said, even when she's giving you the silent treatment, I am talking to you. But what about this? What about this? All I got to do to get her to say something? See, you said last week that this is what's going to happen. All you had to do was just put words in her mouth and then all of a sudden she'd start talking. People don't like that. We don't like that, family. Do you think it's any less for God? to be misrepresented? And we're just talking about the name of a human, a person, creation. We're talking about the name of the Creator, the living God. Family, even in ignorance, we're guilty. Can we think of ways that we've misused the glorious name of God? Man, some people may say, man, Shane, I've done this a lot. We're honest today. Man, I've done this a lot. Even as a Christian, Shane, man, I've done this a lot. My condemnation, it's huge. I have brought shame to his name. I have acted ashamed of Christ. And you may be saying that, hey, Shane, that's me. And the question comes, is there any hope for me today? Absolutely. There is hope for us all. Because we can find salvation today. Why? Because salvation is here. God brought salvation to us. The Word of God declares that salvation is here. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And we have salvation today because salvation belongs to the name that is above every name. Salvation belongs to the name because because there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Family, that name is Jesus. Family, our sin may be great. Our breaking of the third commandment may be great, but I'm here to declare to you that Jesus and his grace is so much greater. Oh, our perjury, our profanity was great, but I'm here to say that Jesus and his grace is so much greater. Our blasphemy, our swearing is great, but Jesus and his grace is so much greater. We can find forgiveness in him because the blood of Christ washes away all of our sins. And I can tell you, God's behind this. God's on my side with this. How do I know? Because the Word of God declares it. Do you know the Word of God also declares that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures? And he was buried and he was raised on the third day, all according to the Scriptures? Do you know that the Bible even declares that this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners? There is salvation for us today. We can have life and life more abundant today. But it's not. You're not going to find it in any other name. You're only going to find it in the name of Jesus. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Salvation is there for us. So even you would say, hey, but Shane, you know what, man? You say this gospel stuff all the time. I'm a Christian. Man, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I've fallen, and I've done this. I did this past week. You know what the Bible also says? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian, confess your sin to the Lord. And God's word says, he promises that he will forgive you and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It is a promise. It is the word of God. And all of God's promises are yes and amen. We serve a God that does not lie. A God that does not lie. And this is all due and all pointing to the glorious name of Christ Jesus, the name that is above every single name. Family, today, rejoice in this. Rejoice today that God has opened up our hearts and our minds to see and recognize that Jesus is Lord and that we will bow the knee to Christ right now because one day everybody will. All right, let's pray.
Thank you for listening. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.